So I'm just gonna unmute everyone. Here we go. Party. So you might wanna mute your phone if you're not talking, and then there we go. So how can I help you? What's going on?
Maybe not necessarily today, but before the end of the training, to have more experience with forgiveness. You know, I know the Ho'oponopono practice pretty well, but maybe some other alternate practice on forgiveness.
Sure. Okay. Let's do another session on that and do it really, really well.
Excellent.
Anyone else? I don't believe that nobody has any questions or needs at all. Because I mean, if you don't, then it's like, well, that's awesome. All right, fantastic. No questions, no needs. Everything's perfect. All right, good job for you. I mean, I'm happy for you. Yeah, but otherwise, let's take this time to like, you know, make some extra breakthroughs here.
You know what? I have a whole single on that, and I'm gonna
got a list going.
when Arielle was doing her meditation, and you know, talking about you know what's going on inside you, what you hide, and I don't, you know, I've talked to you guys about this stuff, but I'm embarrassed right now because I know so much, and I know I've applied a lot of it. And I've transformed from how I was to how I am now, but I still have so much crap. And I'm listening to you, going, absolutely. I'm so grateful for all the things that I do have. Yet I get stuck in where I am. I love what you said earlier about, because I was just thinking I shouldn't be where I am. I'm a grown woman. I should be living alone with my husband. But all these things, and So I thank you for saying, you know, you're exactly where you need to be. But I have all of this. I'm embarrassed because of all this work I've done. I've been on this with you and the superhero training. And I just have all this fear, all this sadness. And so, yeah, I got a whole thing going on right now. I really do.
Mm.
How's that?
Well, it's fantastic what it is, even though it's disturbing, yeah? It's we have to celebrate these things because it's through the breakdown that we get the breakthrough. Yeah.
Can I tell you what I do now?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm aware, I'm beginning to be aware that it doesn't really matter where I am or what I do, because it all is within me, and how, and my state of being, and how I choose to be, and I'm seeing that, I really am, and I'm wanting these things to come up, so that I can let them go. Guess I'm not sure exactly how to do that, I'm not sure exactly what holds me back, you know, the underlying stuff, so, I mean, yeah, would I be happier somewhere else? Yeah, but I'm sure the fear and all the other things would still be there, you know, so I'm wanting to shed all of that, and it's true that I'm embarrassed, because, you know, I've been with you for quite a few years, and, you know, I don't know,
yeah,
the whole thing where I should be, where, not where I am, but someplace else.
Ah, well, let's just take that for a moment, shall we? I just want to acknowledge you, Wendy, for sharing this and being open and being vulnerable, because that's how we change, you know. As long as we're deluding ourselves and pretending things aren't happening, we can't do anything. So that's really, really powerful, just in itself, just acknowledging that you feel that you should be somewhere else and you shouldn't be where you are, and there's something wrong about where you are and what's going on in your life. And I think one of the reasons behind this, like why I like to do is pull the rug from underneath things, because then there's nothing holding it up. And what we have to realize, and this is a bit kind of challenging to fully embrace, because again, it's unconscious stuff we're dealing with. We don't realize how much we've been brainwashed. That's the problem we have. The big problem is that we don't realize how much of the things that we think and the things that we want and the things that we say and the things that we're aspiring to are actually somebody else's notions, somebody else's ideas, yeah? This is a big problem because we believe that we want this and we want that and we don't want this and we don't like this and we do want this and all these details. If you didn't have any cultural programming or brainwashing and conditioning that you should have this and shouldn't have that, and you just experienced being alive right now, living where you are, with all the blessings that you have in your life, and that's all you were aware of, and you didn't have any other ideas about I should have this and I shouldn't have that, how would you feel? If you didn't know
Are you
anything
asking me
else,
personally?
yeah, if you just imagine you just came here for the first time, right? You just arrived on the planet, in the body that you're in, exactly the way it is, with the stuff that you've got, and here you are, and you've just arrived. How do you feel?
Like today I'm living here, I don't have any past story.
Yeah, you've just arrived.
Oh.
Just imagine like
Well, I
everything's blank before now. Like you've just literally come down straight here from the world of light into the body, and you're looking around. You've got n that's and this is all totally new to you.
feel grateful that I'm surrounded by beauty and love, and I do have my solitude. Yeah, I wouldn't be attached to things.
You'd probably be not just not attached, you'd be absolutely thrilled to be alive. Thrilled.
Okay.
You'd be thrilled to bits because you'd be like, you know what? Here I am. I'm alive. This is fantastic. This person seems to think they're my mother. That's fascinating. And then there's this other person here as well.
Just being aware of them as just souls, as your brother souls, and one happens to play the part of your mother, and one happens to play the part of your husband,
Yeah, it's like this is ultimately what's going to snap you out of this permanently, is that you just come down, like this is it, you come down, because really, right, the past is just an idea. It's not even real. We don't even know if it actually happened or not, because our memory is extremely fickle. It's not accurate, yeah. Our memories are extremely inaccurate. If you were to see a videotape of what actually happened compared to the videotape in your mind, it wouldn't be the same. And so if you can, this is something that I do all the time, right? I'm like, how can I just arrive here into the world today? Because we can live like that, yeah. That's what it means to live in the moment, to be alive. And then it's like, oh my God, this is incredible. Look at all the blessings. Do you know what I mean? This is amazing. Fantastic. At least like I've got this cool thing called a phone. This is pretty cool. Like I can talk to people on it. There's all this stuff I can wander around. There's something to eat, I've got a body. This is all right, I know how to do yoga and stuff. I've got a yoga mat. Yeah, there's these people I can talk to. This is interesting. Yeah. Then it's like, well, I don't even want to be anywhere else. This is fantastic. Hooray, And then if you keep living like that, then whatever is next step for you, then that's the next step, But that doesn't matter right now because because you're in wonder.
I love that. I do. That's amazing to me. I'm going to have to really, really diligently, you know, keep doing that, you know? Like, whenever a thought comes in, just sit, because that's such a cool way. What a neat thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beyond attitude, right? It really is. It's like in awe.
Yeah.
It's awe and wonder. Yeah, this is. I mean, honestly, I think this is the best way to live life overall. You know, we are spiritual beings. We are eternal, right? And we are only here now, right now. I don't know whether or not anything ever happens before. I can't honestly verify with 100% certainty that I even woke up this morning. I can't honestly say for sure whether or not I woke up this morning. I've got some memory of it, yeah, but I can't trust that completely. Yeah? I don't know anything apart from here I am today, and that's it. And here I am, and there's a laptop next to me, and there's been this massive rainbow in front of us, most of the call, actually. It's still there a little bit now. I don't know, it's a wonder. It's a wonder all of us can have that consciousness. Here we are. Why the drama? Why the wonder? And that's it. Yeah, and the joy in that, the wonder in that, the for me the word wonder is my favorite word, actually. Magic and wonder. Wonder. Wonder of being alive. The wonder, yeah? So if you can live in the wonder, which you can live in the wonder, because it's natural, yeah, to live in the wonder, then you're like, I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. This is awesome. And I'm giving thanks that I'm alive.
Yeah.
I love that. Go ahead, Aria.
Uh-huh. And also just to look at resistance. You know, we can so easily just always resist our situation, and usually things don't change until we just totally accept them and stop resisting it, right? And also, you know, this is a special time. This is a special time of awakening, and it's also a special time where we're all settling our karmic accounts. So we can look at our life situation, we can look at the souls in our life and in our, you know, immediate family who are around all the time, and just acknowledge that if they're present in our life, we're settling something, right? It's a time of settling our karmic accounts. It's a time of having spiritual practice at home with our family, right? Not in a monastery or in a cave. So, you know, the fact that you are with your mother, there's significance there. And to just practice letting go of resisting it, accepting it, and even exploring, you know, the gifts and the benefits, and there's some sort of settling going on there.
You know, you guys, it's totally true, you're right, and I have done that, and I'm kind of proud of myself, because there's many times that I can go, you know, a couple weeks, whereas before it was just minutes, right? And so this, my question is, when the thoughts do come in, and I begin believing them, and the emotions come about, I mean, isn't it true that sometimes I feel like, when I just come into a state of 2 to 5 seconds of no thought, when I'm feeling something crazy, okay, I get into a better space. And sometimes I understand that. Now I can stay right where I am. I can be in gratitude. But aren't I also not letting go, because I'm not allowing myself to just be with the feeling, not attaching any thought to it, any story? Is it true that I need to really feel the sadness or feel the anger, whatever it is, in order to let it go. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, the trust the process method that I've shared with you, I feel is basically the essence of the whole letting go process, which is first step is allow and accept. First step is that you have to just be aware that this thing is even here. Because if we're suppressing, repressing, escaping, venting, yeah, then we're not here. So that's like, we need to be here to start with, right? So okay, here we are, and here's what I'm feeling. Okay, these are just like bring it to the reality of this is going on. That's sanity, yeah, not denial, just truth. Second thing is to say, once we've done that, we're not judging it or anything. We're just saying, here is the thing. So it's kind of like saying, there, a man has come to the door. It's like, all right, the man is at the door. All right, fine. You know, you're not pretending no one there. Yeah. And then, all right, then we have to say, okay, we need to confront it. We have to realize that there is a Vinash force, And I just want to explain this a little bit more deeply in case I didn't clarify this last time. Any time that there is negativity or vice, some sort of negative energy or like ego-based perspectives, or I am the best ever and I am this and I am that and all the rest of it, anything that's not pure and true deep down, as soon as it's born in us, any lack of truth that's born inside of us, as soon as it's born, it births with it, in the same instant that it's born, the seed of its own destruction. So all negativity bears two seeds simultaneously. It bears the seed of its existence and it bears the seed of its own destruction. Right? And as they grow together, it comes a point where the seed of the destruction is going to come and destroy it, because it's unnatural. It's one of these laws of nature. Nature doesn't like cancerous things. It wants to get rid of unhealthy things. Yeah, there's an inherent system designed to kill things. Just like in the body, if things start going wrong in the body starts attacking them. Yeah, yeah, that's what the immune system is. And if something is, if you cut yourself, yeah, then it heals, it scabs up and all the rest of it, and it heals. Yeah, so nature, the body is one thing, but nature has another way of doing the same thing. Yeah, you see the same thing in history. See, this is just a repetitive cycle. So inside of you, so the first thing is to say, okay, here's what I'm feeling. Second thing is to say, this is a force of nature that has come to destroy negativity. So you're welcoming the destruction, so that you can be free. So the situations we're in that appear to be unpleasant to us are opportunities for us to let go and go to a higher level and get rid of any negativity in us, even if the negativity is not obvious what it is, even if you can't see how this relates to you, even if you're like, how I never did anything wrong in my life, how is this ever possible? It doesn't matter, you know, we can have all those thoughts, but we're prolonging the suffering. So if we say, I don't really understand all this stuff, but I do know that negativity's come to kill itself and I'm happy about that, so we embrace it, then we connect to God, which is the most important thing, and give it up. Say, you know what, I'm open to surrender this, I'm open to let it go, I'm open to the highest good of all, I'm open to not have this anymore, I'm willing to learn the lesson, I'm being humble, you know, okay, give me help here, I'm open to some help. And then as we do that, we expand out, see things from a higher place. And from that higher place, new possibilities arise, new possibilities open, new doors open for us. And that's when we can start moving forward in a different direction. Yeah, but if we don't do this process, what happens is that we just keep recreating the same problem over and over and over again in different ways until we finally learn the lesson.
You know, and this is my sense, Wendy. It's like what's in the way is the way. And what I'm hearing from you is on one hand, it's like the living with your mother, it is kind of that Vinesh force, because it's like, God, this just isn't right. It doesn't feel in alignment. You know, I don't like that. And I think that's it's okay to feel it, and that it's actually very connected to you stepping out and teaching and stepping into your dharma. Because the sense I was getting was, it's like when you start doing that more, when you start stepping into your power as a woman and as a spiritual leader and really, really embracing that, and, you know, letting go of the fears and the insecurities they're gonna come up anyways, but just doing it anyway, I think that's the force that's actually gonna get you out of that situation. And that in a way that situation's there, kind of like building the energy in you, like really wanting to change it, for a reason. And, that's just the sense I just got so clearly for you. 'Cause it's very symbolic. It's very symbolic, 'cause you're living with your mother. And when you step into that role, when you step into that full potential of yourself as a queen, as a mother, a world mother, you living with your mother, that whole situation probably won't be needed anymore. Yeah, I just got that really clearly. If that resonates with you, I think that they're simultaneously connected.
I think it does. Are you saying one thing, like, I notice that I blow off what's very important to me, like studying raw food, studying yoga, and actually doing my yoga practice, because I don't want to be here at the house, so I don't do it. And I know it's this constant, here you go again, Wendy, here's, you know, the next day's here, I'm not doing it again, so I know what I'm creating. So are you saying, or one of the things that you're saying is to do that, that's part of my dharma, to really actively start doing it so it can propel me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that not what you were saying?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. I think that's where it starts. And that force of you rising in your dharma and in your power, and then also sharing it, right? I know there's multiple ways you can share it with others and teach and step more and more into your service. I think that's the force that is actually going to change the situation. You know, because right now on some level, it's kind of like if you look at the little girl, the little Wendy inside, it's like little Wendy, you know, doesn't want to stay at home, wants to run away, doesn't want to be around your mom. And it's kind of like almost avoiding rather than like just stepping into the power and that force and that energy of your power that's probably going to change the situation. Does that make sense?
It does. It's very interesting. I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
Think about that. And Michael kind of, he said something to me, you know, about just doing it. I'm going to really think about what you guys both said. And Michael was on another call. Thank you guys very much, very much.
Yeah, you know, you're so welcome. And it's like now, it's this whole new way of seeing it, because now, You're wanting to, you know, not live with your mother anymore and get out of that situation. That energy is a force that can propel you to have the courage to do your practice and to share and to teach. Because do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's like, that's actually kind of could be, you can use that, you know, you could say anger, discomfort, whatever. You can use that to fuel your courage to step out and shine and teach and do your practice, because by doing that, it's actually going to get you out of the other situation. Does that make sense? It's kind of like using the ego and the resistance in a good way. Is that making sense?
It absolutely does, and I have to let go of my resistance. just
yeah.
do it. And
yeah.
because I have to let go of the fear, all of that. And because when I have done my practice here, it's like, yeah, I'm fine here. I'm doing okay. And then I let the whole mm-hmm. ego crap. So, yes, mm-hmm. it is so much.
Yeah, yeah, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Yeah, so just be stoked with
what. Well, and use the energy, use what you're not stoked about to fuel your courage to step out. Like, use that energy that's not happy about the situation to fuel you stepping fully into your Dharma and your power and teaching. You know, it's like using it in a good way. So.
Yeah. Great, you guys. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, most of the time in life, we're waiting around for something or other to change outside of us to feel good. When even if it does change, it doesn't make us feel any better anyway. And that's what I found, you know. Like, I think, oh, finally, when all this stuff is taken care of, then I'll feel great. And then it turns out that I get all this stuff taken care of and I don't feel any better than I did before. Which is quite disturbing to realize, you know. So I think, end of the day, we're always going to be in some kind of process, so we might as well learn as much as we possibly can to be at peace with our lives now.
Absolutely. And Wendy, you know, I just wanted to share an example, I thought of an example, so hopefully it would make more sense about what I was trying to say. So I was thinking back to when I was in Austin before I came here. I was living with my twin brother. And it was fine at first, but it got to a point where it was just not working. There just wasn't enough space. We both needed, you know, to be doing our own thing. And in some ways, I felt trapped and didn't know what the way out was and didn't like the situation. And I actually use that, like, sometimes I think when we know something's not right, it's good because it fuels us to take action and trust in something else. So I, because of that, I, you know, had the courage and the determination to follow what was right for me and ended up coming to Kauai. And somehow, you know, by just staying committed to that goal and committed to myself and committed to the highest good, step by step, sure enough, I was able to leave there and come to Kauai, and was even given financial support by, you know, unexpected angels to do so. You know, I didn't know how it would have happened. So sometimes I think when we do feel something's not right, It fuels us and encourages us to snap into what is right, you know? And I don't know if maybe that example helps, but I just thought of it as, you know, these things can be good, right?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I probably wouldn't have done half the things I've done in my life without the pain. Forcing me to change.
Like,
but
if you weren't comfortable in your house in England, and knowing that kept you focused on, well, what else is possible? What else is possible? And both of us step more fully into our Dharma as a result of an uncomfortable, unaligned living situation.
Yeah. Now, see, the important thing, though, is to realize that behind this, and this is what I talk about in the book, Trust the Process, behind this is always a death of an old self.
Yes.
Yeah. So running away from things doesn't solve anything at all. In fact, you just immediately recreate the whole thing again within a few months. Yeah, if you run away from it. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
So you could take what she said in the wrong way and say, I don't like it, I'm out of here. But the reality is that it's what happened with me in the case of moving to Hawaii is that I was in a sort of victim, I you know, these people did these bad things to me and I don't like my life, and I was just like in my victim like misery story, yeah, which I was stuck in. And I got to the point where I was lying on the floor, curled up in a ball, crying and wanting to die. Yeah. Every time I say that, RL reaches over and gives me pampering because it disturbs her, the idea of me lying down in a ball, upset. So, thank you, darling. So, yeah, so, but what happened was that something snapped in me. I realized it was good for me. I realized that something had to change inside of me. I realized that I needed to sort of toughen up and stop being a victim, basically, and get it together and become the real deal, you know?
And that's what I was actually saying for Wendy, that was what was going to change the situation when she steps into that.
Yeah, yeah. And I also began to appreciate the things that I had in my life that I neglected, because when you're in misery, you can't see anything good about life anymore. So you just you kind of cancel out all the good. It's like you become blind to anything positive when we're in those states. Yeah. So I was just like, everything's horrible. Yeah. So, but then I was like, no, I've got all this good stuff. I've got all these possibilities. Like we were talking about with the water filter thing. Everything we need is here, you know. And I realized, no, I have everything I need, you know. And you know, my relationship with Nick and the visioning that we'd done in the past, and tons of stuff that I already had built up, and all, you know, just like you've been building up all these things inside yourself over years and years, this all there as well. And then once there's been enough inner change, and there's not all these crazy triggers, and the shift has happened on the inside, then the outer shift happens. Yeah. So to just realize that if you prioritize dying to the old more than running away, then you'll end up changing the situations quicker. Mm-hmm. But you're not trying to change it quickly. I think one of the biggest problems that we have is our persistence on things have to be fast food style, yeah? Like, I want it now. I want it now. Yeah, we want everything now. But we can't have it all now. So we have to focus on, let's change myself right now, which we can have. Change my attitude now, change where I'm focusing now, and then whenever it's supposed to change, then I'll be grateful. Yeah? Otherwise, we're always going to be disappointed. Because who's to say that it could be that spending another X amount of time more is exactly what's needed for the highest good of all? Yeah, so we don't want to put any like time frames on things, because if fundamentally we're interested in the inner change, then we're interested in the inner change. So that's the priority. So in that case, you kind of can relax about it. And by relaxing, it tends to speed things up when we relax and stop stressing out about it. And it tends to slow them down when we start freaking out all the time and getting upset. So... yeah, that's been my observation, is that the more I force, the slower everything is, and the more of a nightmare it is, and the more mistakes I make. Yeah, recently I was trying to speed up this whole organizing thing, right? And because I was going so fast, I ended up causing myself tons of problems, which ended up taking hours and hours and hours and hours on the phone with all these different people having to fix all these problems that I'd created myself, because I was trying to do it quickly. I remember going to bed feeling absolutely infuriated at what a complete nonsense I was stuck in, but it was completely my doing, because I was trying to do it too quickly. So, yeah. So, in other words...
I'm sorry, I get such a chuckle when Arielle, I hear her chuckling in the background. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah,
because she knows what I'm talking
about. No, you're so right, though, because then it's just coming from total resistance. So I am aware of that, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And I really, I'm able to watch myself, see what's going on, and to take a step back. But I got to tell you, when you did that, I felt some crazy last night and this morning, and I was able to let them go. But because I know if I start thinking about it, it's a story, I feed it, and hello, I'm like slam dunk, you know, I'm in it. And it's not worth it to me, because I realize that I'm just creating the same thing. So when she did her meditation, I was like, ay, ay, ay. I was totally sobbing. So anyway, mm-hmm. This is a great call. Thank you very much.
Yeah, keep rocking. Yeah.
And stay committed to your practice and yourself, and relax and let go and be open to change. Yeah, but I think the key thing is don't let the situation hold you back from doing what's good for you, you know, and what you need to do.
Okay.
Yeah. And
but if you hear anything weird, sorry, let me just tell you this. If you hear anything weird like that noise, I have a bird and it's kind of crazy right now. So.
Yeah, we did hear it. I was wondering.
What's it saying?
Sometimes if he gets a little crazy, I'll go, are you okay? And so he's imitating me going, you okay?
Oh, really?
And he has a strange voice, so I wanted you to know that it's not me.
He's
got a strange voice. Well, he's a bird after all, so it's not surprising. So that's wonderful. Well, we have a bird as well as Wendy on the call. This is good.
Learning the school of darkness. Yeah.
Adding, helping the birds of the world out.
Free tuition.
Yeah. This is awesome. So, you know, one of the bizarre things I think I need to just share with everyone, just re-emphasize this, that when you get what you want, you'll want something else. So you might as well start being happy today. Because it never ends. Like, there's always something else. Like, I'm absolutely living the dream life that I wanted to live for years, living it. And now I want all these other things, and I'm thinking, oh, I want another house. I want a house in New York, and I want a house over here. And I'm like, look, Michael, come on. Look, when you get all these things, nothing's going to be any different. It's just always an inner game, So I have to sort of curb back my ego's unnecessary desires, and just realize this is going to happen to you the same as it happens to everyone else. You know, if you get a book out and then people love your book and they buy tons of copies of it and you get all this praise, you'll be like, well, I want to write another one then, it should be better. And then do you know what I mean? Like, it's literally endless. That's why people who've got their multi-millions, now they want their billions, and when they got their billions, they want their multi-billions, because it's never enough. So we have to actually just get our needs met and stop playing the game, because it's not our game. It's the Western culture has created a game for us all to play that leads us to feel consistently unworthy and consistently not good enough, and consistently craving for things that we don't have and we have to buy. And it never ends. It never ends. You don't find people who say, I got everything I need, I'm stoked. Very, 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 very often you don't find those people. Most people, they're like, yeah, everything's all right, but I wouldn't mind a bit more of this, I wouldn't mind a bit more of this, I wouldn't mind, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, I wouldn't mind changing that, I don't like that, I want another three of those things, I want to upgrade this thing, And then if they get all those things, they're like, yeah, you know what, I thought this would be the best ever, it turned out it didn't work that well, want another one. And it just goes on and on and on and on. The essential thing for us is to be able to actually enjoy life today. That's why I've been on about this from the very beginning of School of Dharma. Let's have the intention of having today be our best day ever. Like, enjoy ourselves today. Do everything that we like to do today. Do the things that bring us happiness today. And things that bring us happiness tend to be very, very simple things. Yeah? Like going for a walk, listening to music, meditation, eating food, simple food that's nice to eat, nourishing, having a nap, yeah? Doing some valuable service, spending time with people you love. Yeah? These are all, they're all very simple and basically free or extremely cheap. Yeah? So most of the stuff that really makes a difference to us is totally free or easily attainable. We just have to actually realize that this is the reality. Take advantage of doing it, you know. Like one of the things I love is Ariel rubbing my head, yeah, because I'm always thinking all the time. So when she rubs my head, it's not a big deal. Doesn't have to take very long. Yeah, a little head rub, like very, very enjoyable for me. Yeah, it's not a big deal, but it means a lot to me. So just little things. So I just want everyone to just remember the little things, because the little things are really the big things. And if you focus on them, you feel rich. Yeah? And if you speak to millionaires, billionaires, they'll tell you that it's the same with them. The little things that they like, spending quality time with my family, you know, going for a walk down the road. Yeah? One of my friends who's a billionaire, you know, when I talk to him about stuff, it's just basic stuff that he likes, you know. Basic things. It doesn't cost any money. And all the money and all the wealth and all the land that he has stresses him out. So he has to freak out about it, worry about it. It's annoying to him, yeah. It's a problem. All these people want money from him all the time. So it's just realize that, as you know from all these spiritual books, happiness is within and peace is within, and might as well enjoy life today. Who's with me on this?
Yes.
I am.
Ah.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Less. Yeah, of course there's some stuff we should upgrade. Yeah, of course, blah, blah, blah. There's always going to be stuff to do, but as much as possible, today is the day to do everything we can to enjoy our life. And if we have that attitude, tomorrow we'll do it again, and the next day, and the next day, and that's how we end up having a good life. Do you want to share anything, Cindy? Any questions, anything you want to connect with?
The space today is lovely that you gave to all of us. The only sort of question that I had around was like, the speaking with others. But then through today's conversation, I'm kind of like, you have everything you need, Cindy. So don't use that as an excuse that you cannot speak to people. And because I'm like, oh, perhaps I need to go and learn how to talk like a straight counselor or something, or, learn to guide people in that way. And then I'm like, no, you just need to use the green button. You need to just be present. And then just recently, just the last couple of things you said, like yesterday, I went to, it was like a drug rehab day when we went to the drug rehab center, and I taught in the morning there and then had harmoniums all day. Mm. And I was with somebody that was doing it for the first time, and it was just so wonderful to do it with her. Like, it was just kind of like, we were just like a perfect team. And we both said out loud, I said, well, actually, this is a dream come true. You know, I am teaching and giving harmoniums, and that's kind of all I want to do. So I was like, you know what? This is a dream come true day. So it was just like a beautiful, and then, you know, because then I was like, oh, I'm blah, 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 blah. But so it's good to be reminded to, be super thankful for where I am. Yeah, so, and from last week's call, it was so helpful to, like, it really helped me break through some of, you know, repeating patterns that I have around money. So, like, I confronted and I, you know, kind of welcomed the discomfort. And, you know, it wasn't like I hadn't felt those feelings before. They were basically repeat, 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 repeat. And the last time they had happened, I had really been like, this is enough, I'm done. And then they came again, but this time I was able to just do that practice, because you basically, you know, I did it while you were talking us through it on the phone last week, and then I kind of just stayed in it. Like, any time I would have gone to my normal panic, I was like, no, nah, you want to clean this up, give it up, give it up. You know, so I just had to keep giving it up, and really, I just wanted to understand more and more how to be humble, like just be flat, you know, just like lie down and give this up. And so, and it's been quite wonderful. Like, it was kind of like magical. Like, it was just magical. And I was like, wow, it's like this happens every freaking time, Cindy. Why can't you remember? But it's actually getting easier to remember. So, yeah. I don't know, so I'm just, I suppose I'm in a good place right now, and in the sense of I'm feeling closer to God, and that is like, you know, that just makes me want to cry all the time at the moment, because I'm in my Venus period, so it makes me more like, ah, but, you know, even that, this, ah, I'm like, you can just be chill with that too, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so I'm just trying to get my yo-yo as more like, hey, I'm just good, you know, lie down, give it up to God, and you'll be shown, and you have everything you need. So, yeah, my question was just about, how do I talk to people? But I don't want to ask that anymore, and I definitely don't want to ask it in that way. So,
but what do you mean,
I,
though?
You know, I just feel very...
What do you mean by talk to people, as in how do you...
Well, like, you know, like, because... I have had this person to work with over the phone. You know, he's given me his trust and his time. And, yeah, and I don't feel like just lately, I don't feel like I've met him properly, you know. And so, you know, in some ways, actually, I feel like I could just be honest about that and just, like, can we go in another way? So that's what I mean. So just, like, you know, physically, like, do you know, like, little process, like, you know, do you meditate before you call the person? But I think that, you know, I would do those things anyway. It's like center myself, think about that person. But it was just like, you know, like on that first call that we ever had, and you said organization, you know, and basically that's what I've had to improve, like put systems in and organize.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, does that happen? Like, am I just going to ask to work with somebody, or would you like some help with this or something? And, you know, like, I'm just going to practice like that. That's kind of what I mean. Like,
okay, working with people.
Like, what sort of questions? Do you have an opening question, or is there a couple of, is there a little, you know, formula that you started with? Or, yeah, I don't know. That was the only thing, really,
right,
I suppose.
Right. Yeah, okay, well, let's take that. I just want to first of all acknowledge you for realizing how blessed you are, and for, you know, being willing to do the work, and just realize that these things keep coming up over and over and over, chasing us around until we finally get the message. And I just want to appreciate you for you know, having the patience to keep looking at it, and until it finally goes away. That's a big deal, you know, because it's going to keep chasing you around, keep chasing all of us around. I consider it's like a hurricane that chases us around, yeah? So we need to, like, face it, and that's what you're doing. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I think, too, Cindy, you could talk about how to not yo-yo. You're really good at speaking about how to stay.
Yeah. So basically,
that has to do with money too. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the question that you asked about working with people, yeah, clients. You seem to be talking about coaching, mentoring, helping people make a breakthrough. So, I have been working with people over the years, and you know, there are literally endless certifications you could get for coaching. Like, the coaching profession, if you like, is this huge profession, and there's tons of coaches. Practically everyone I meet seems to be a coach nowadays, you know. And what is the role of a coach or a mentor? The role of a coach or a mentor is to help somebody else make a breakthrough, you know. So traditionally, coaching came from the sports industry, you know. So you'd have like a basketball coach or a baseball coach or a football coach, and the coach would kind of give people feedback and encourage them, lift them up, and tell them that they can, you know, do more than they could normally believe they could, and sort of give them some tips in the right direction to up their game, you know. And a lot of the time, coaches in the sports profession were professional athletes themselves in the past, and now when they retire, they become coaches. Sometimes the best coaches in sports weren't very good athletes, actually, funnily enough. Like, they weren't like the top of their game, yeah.
That's
so that's, and some of them weren't hardly athletes at all, they just turned out to be really good coaches. So you don't even necessarily need to have been the top of the game in order to be able to help someone else get to the top of their game, which is proven by the amount of good coaches who weren't good players. But I still believe that we should definitely know what we're talking about. Otherwise we can't help anyone. But the most important thing when you're working with somebody, the number one thing, is that it's not about you. It's about them reaching their potential, reaching their goals. That's what it's about. That's all it's about, really. And so when you have that clarity that your goal, your aim, is simply to help them go to a higher level, yeah, then you've got the foundation of what's going on here, what the point of this is, yeah. Because if you don't have like an essence, then it's just very, very random, very vague conversations. So whenever I talk to people, one way or another, I'm interested in helping them make a breakthrough, helping them go to a higher level. It might be teaching them something, if necessary, that they didn't know, or it might be drawing out of them their own innate wisdom. And my preference is to draw out of people what they already know. It depends on the situation, because consulting and mentoring are a little bit different from coaching. Coaching is more about kind of encouraging someone to go to the next level. Mentoring and consulting is about advising people on what they should be doing, which is a bit different, yeah? So you could have consultants that go into big... I know a lot of people, friends of mine, who are consultants for corporate organizations, yeah? When I was in England, somehow a lot of the people I knew from meditation, what they did for a job was corporate consulting. So they'd go into big companies and they'd say, all right, this is the reason your company is not performing, is because of this. And then they tell them they should do these three things or something, and they get paid tons of money for it. And that's not really the same as coaching. Coaching is where you draw out of somebody what's already going on for them. So I'm a big fan of questions. Yeah, like like for example, just to sort of simplify this, because I'm just giving you a bit of context there. But in essence, when I work with people, I first of all do meditation with them, because I think if someone's not in a relaxed space, conscious, relaxed space, they're probably spinning out in their sort of panicky state. A lot of people are in some sort of crisis, yeah? It's just seems the world makes everyone freak out. So let's just start off by getting calm and seeing the bigger picture. So do a little meditation, get everyone grounded, get them to tune into their own innate wisdom, and get them to reveal, let their deeper part of them reveal what is going on for them that they want to work on, you know? Because I don't always know, frankly, what someone needs to work on. You know, I don't know what happened to them in the week. I'm not like psychic that everything that ever happened to them, I pick it up. I'm often dead on the money, though. I'm often very, very, very close intuitively to what they're going through before they say anything. But I don't just assume that I'm always going to be right about everything. So I like to ask, what's going on for you that you want to work on? Like, what comes up for you? And most of the time, people will say something like, I had this situation came up, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And then you just have to listen to them, because people generally don't have an opportunity to be heard. Yeah? So big part of the healing and the part of the process as a coach, as someone who's helping others, is to listen very, very carefully to them. Actually genuinely care about them. For me, like whenever I work with people, I genuinely care about them. Yeah, there's nobody I ever worked with who I haven't actually cared about. Otherwise, I don't want to work with them. Yeah, I will refuse clients if I don't care about them. Yeah, what's the point? Yeah, like if you don't care about them in your heart, why would you even be there? So you need to make sure, do you care about this person? If you do, then listen carefully. Because, you know, that's a sign of respect, and you can't tune in unless you're listening. So you listen, make sure that you understand what they're going through. Often I'll repeat it back to them, what they said, because people find it very, very helpful to hear back what they said. Yeah? Because, I mean, I'm sure we've all experienced times where someone goes on and on and on about something, and then the other person doesn't acknowledge what they said, and then just talks about something completely different. And you're like, what the hell happened there? This person, no idea. Were they not listening to me at all? Like, what's going on here? Yeah. So, does this make sense so far, Cindy?
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, helpful. So you acknowledge, all right? So, you sounded to me, from what I understood, you could say these words. From what I understand, sounded like you're going through this, and you reflect back. And I take notes when I'm working with people. I have a piece of paper, and I write down what they say, because I'm not going to necessarily remember everything they said. If they're talking to me for 5-10 minutes, I might forget things. So I'll write it down, and I'll make sure I'm listening. And I'll say, right, if I understand you correctly, this is what you've been experiencing, this is what you've been going through, this is what's going on for you. Just doing that solves most of the problems. Strange as it might sound, without you actually giving them any advice, just listening to them and telling them back what they just said is healing. And then often people will say things like, yeah, that's exactly what I felt. And they feel better. They feel heard. They feel seen. They feel cared about.
Understood.
They feel like, oh, thank God someone actually listened to me. Then they often go on. Then I might ask them a question like, well, what do you think this is teaching you? Like, what is the deeper message with this? Yeah, I might ask something like that. I don't have like this formula that I follow step by step. But I'm interested, I believe that everyone is a genius. So I believe that everyone knows what's going on, yeah? So I'm like, well, what do you think that means then? What's going on there? And often they will they will sit with it for a little bit, and I give them space, and I say, you know what, you don't have to like immediately answer the question, like, but normally the unconscious comes up with something straight away that is correct. Let them share it and just work through what's going on, and then I have like quite a very very strong intuition, so I often get guidance, you could say, that I share, and normally it's bang on. Yeah, and it's sometimes shocking to people because it's so bang on. Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do, is to give them shocking, not shocking, like you're not supposed to shock people, but but the thing is, if someone is working with you and you're not helping them make breakthroughs and you're not giving them a bit of a shock occasionally, there's no point in working with them. Yeah, because if it's just blah-de-da-de, blah-blah-blah, and no breakthrough, what's the point? There's no change happen. So having a bit of a shock, having a bit of a breakdown, I don't go out of my way to shock people and make them cry, right? That's not, I'm not like, okay, let's see how quickly I can break this person down and make them sob on the phone, yeah? I don't think that, yeah? Often happens people are crying or they go through some stuff. But I'm not like, all right, let's see if I can take them down in 5 minutes. Yeah, and it's not, see if I can get it down to 1 minute. No, but I'm just.
How long did that one take?
Yeah, but come on, this is not. Yeah, so I don't. You know, you don't need to do that. But just listening, just caring, Your job ultimately as a mentor, as a coach, is to help people see patterns that they're not aware of, help reveal unconscious things.
Okay.
Yeah, your job is to help them reveal things to themselves that they didn't realize.
Right. Yeah?
You're not necessarily supposed to tell them straight up.
Got it.
Yeah, like if I said, like, I could talk to someone and I can tell pretty much almost immediately what's going on with them, right? And I could tell them bing 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 bing, right? This and this needs to change. But ultimately that's not as useful as them telling me those same things because they realized it themselves. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, that makes sense.
So even if you know that there's these three things that they need to do to change their life, ultimately, if you let them come to it themselves, it's better. Sometimes people are just not, they're just not open, and you have to just like hit them with it, you know, like give it to them hardcore. Not in an unpleasant way, but just like be very, very direct.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's needed, and that makes a breakthrough for them. But I try and only do that as a secondary opportunity, yeah? And I might say things like, here's what I'm seeing. And I often ask people permission. Like, for example, there's something going on here that I'm seeing. Are you open for me to share with you? Yeah? Like, because then you're getting...
The karma of it too.
Say again?
There's something going on that I'm seeing. Are you open?
Are you open to hearing about it? Yeah? If you just immediately tell people where they're like making massive mistakes and screwing themselves up without their permission, they can get defensive. But if you say, there's something you're doing that may not be serving you that I can see, well, are you open to knowing what it is? Yeah? Would you like me to tell you about it? Then they say, yeah, I'd love to know what it is. Yeah. Then you've got permission, and then you can say, well, it looks to me like, you know, you seem to be repeating this pattern over and over again, and it's just you know, having this effect on you. And then they feel happy to hear it, yeah, because you ask them. Ultimately, they would ideally want to be happy anyway, because that's why they're talking to you. But I still think it's worth adding those extra steps, just because it makes it a bit more gentle, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be very firm with people if they're breaking boundaries or if they're just totally all over the place, because you need to hold the space for the call. Yeah, so people are just going on and on and on and on and on, and they're all over the place, and then you have to say, hang on a minute, let's just stop here for a second. Like, this seems to be stuck in story right now, you know, and like it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, and you cut them off and say, look, let's take a few breaths, because we can't just spend an hour just venting. It's not helpful. Yeah, so you sometimes have to be strong like that. It doesn't happen that often, though. You know, it's also having the intention each call that this is opportunity to make a breakthrough. This is opportunity to make a shift of some kind. You know, so that's what coaching basically is. Essentially, about is just listening, tuning in. Getting, you need to get very clear on what people want, by the way. Like, if you don't know what they want to achieve, how can you coach them towards it? So the very, 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 very beginning, you want to find out, what are your goals, what are your dreams, what are your problems, goals and dreams and challenges, because ultimately the only reason someone was working with you is because they got a problem, and they it's blocking them from getting their goals. And a lot of the time, the problem isn't really a problem, and their goals aren't really their goals anyway. Yeah, so you have to sort of like gradually find out what their real goals are and what their real problems are. Yeah, because most of the time, people's goals are all brainwashing, and their problems are all fabricated near enough. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Behind a problem, there's another problem. Behind that, there's another one. And then behind that, there's another couple. And then behind those, you get to the actual problem. And so I'm always looking out for what's behind everything, because if we sort that one out, then everything else is all right. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's why I've been on about on these calls. The real problem, ultimately, is thinking we should be somewhere other than where we are. And if we give that up, we can start having a good life today. Yeah, so I've been on about these deeper problems throughout these sessions, so hopefully you've been making some breakthroughs without me having to probe too deeply, because I already know a lot of the problem. Problem is, we think we're bodies and we're not souls. That's the real problem, you know. If everyone just realized their soul as consciousness, then not any problems at all. Everything's solved completely in one chunk. Job done, yeah? Well, I told you that at the beginning of the whole thing, yeah? But I gave you the secrets to everything on Freud's first call. So, yeah. So to reinforce it for the last year. So, but, like, this, the essence is... Yeah, I know. Just, like, go back and listen to the very first call, and we already solved everything there. So, but it just takes a while for it to kind of seep in, yeah? So...
Yeah.
Yeah. So just realize that, yeah, that these things, they take time. So as a coach, your aim is to sort of reveal deeper things and help people make people get them, help them have breakthroughs and help them make shifts. And as a mentor is different from a coach. Mentor is more teaching, more like, all right, this is where you're at. This is what you need to do next. It's a bit more instructive, you know. So I do coaching and mentoring. A lot of the time I'm doing mentoring. So if someone wants something, they're asking me, someone who's been further down the road than them, and I'm like, all right, avoid these things, stop doing those things, start doing these things. Yeah, it's much more like matter of fact. It's not so much about what's going on for you, how are you feeling, what's the deal. It's more like, This is if you want to get this result, here's the five things you're going to need to do. You need to do them in this order, and you need to avoid these other two things over here. That's a bit more straight to the point, yeah. So mentoring is different. Mentoring in a way is easier, in a sense, because you're just instructing people on what they should do. But you can't really do mentoring without a bit of coaching. So you always have to come back to the person, to what's going on for them, what they're feeling, how they're experiencing things, and help them make breakthroughs. And I would recommend a couple of books on coaching. One's called The Prosperous Coach. Prosperous Coach. Brother Joshua, a friend of mine, Joshua Benavides, he recommended that to me. He's really big on that book. And what's the other one called? The one that...
Which one?
Effortless, Co-active Coaching is the other one.
Oh, right.
So if you buy the book Co-active Coaching, it's a bit of a chunky book. It's like a Bible on coaching, and it has tons and tons of exercises and tons of like reframing stuff and helping people like order of how you should ask questions, like detail. Like, so if you read that book, if you read that book plus everything you've learned from School of Dharma plus everything you've learned from the other things you've studied, there's plenty for you to be a coach, like proper coach, you know. So Co-active Coaching, Prosperous Coach, those two books, plus everything you already know, and mainly listen and actually care. You've got plenty.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there's plenty of people who are technically speaking trained coaches, but they're spaced out. They don't really care. They don't really understand what they're talking about. They haven't got the depth. So they're not the real deal. They can't help anyone. Even if they've had like a year's worth of training as a coach, doesn't mean they can actually help anyone. There's other people who never did any training as a coach at all and are absolutely master coaches because they listen. So just realize that it's more about helping people make a breakthrough than it is about following a system, basically. But of course there's no harm in having a system to back you up if you need it. But you've got plenty.
I'm a system girl.
Exactly. Yeah, you are a system girl now. So yeah, read
system woman.
System woman, exactly. So you go and read those two books. there's plenty to be getting on with. But bottom line is this. This is the bottom line. Each call, you ask the person, what do you want to leave this call with? Yeah? What do you want to... That's it. Because if you find out what they want to leave the call with, what do they want to be better and different after the call, and then you focus on helping them get the result they want, or more than that, then you did them service, they're happy, yeah? And often... I'm just saying, like, often if you go into the... I've done this a few times with people, and it always goes wrong, where I'm like spotted something way that I think is way off, and I need to just like, look, this thing here is screwing up your life, right? But if they're not ready to hear it, and I'm right, like putting them in that direction, they resent me for it. Right, so I had to stop doing that, because even though I know that thing ultimately is going to change their life, if what they want to talk about is this other thing, and I say, you know what, I'm not interested in that other thing because I can see there's this big ass problem and there's an elephant in the room, and we're going to have to talk about the elephant. The elephant is there. Let's talk about the elephant. And they're like, whoa. So sometimes you have to like overcome your intuition and like thing, and just say, all right, well, you want to talk about your relationship with something, all right, let's do that then, you know, because there's no point in busting the elephant if they still are denying that there's an elephant even in the room. Yeah,
right.
They say, no, there's no elephant. No, that's not an elephant. That's my best friend. You know, we don't understand. You don't know what I'm talking. Yeah.
Right. My question was, you said, what do you want to get from this call? You know, has everybody given you an answer? Like, what if it's the people are, oh, I don't know, blah, 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 like that.
Yeah, well, if that's the... I mean, see, some it depends on the context. If I'm mentoring somebody and I'm helping them out and they're like, I don't know, really, then I'll tell them what I think they should be doing differently, better, to upgrade. Because I know their bigger goals, yeah? I know what people are trying to achieve. So I know where they're going. So if someone's like, you know what, I haven't got anything pressing that I want to talk about this week, then I'm like, all right, well, let's talk about this then, because I know that you want to get over here, and here's where you are, so let's move you forward in that direction quickly. So in that case, you can help either one, is you help them move forward by just, you know, tuning in, taking a few breaths, and finding out what you feel the best thing is yourself, or you can ask them more questions. You could say, well, what happened this week, or whenever it's been, like, what's been your biggest challenge? Or you could ask them, tell me your dreams again. What do you want?
Right. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
What, remind me of what it is that you're actually wanting, because people love talking about their dreams. Yeah. Then you can, once they tell you their dreams, they'll feel good about it, and then you say to them, all right, what do you think you need to work on to move closer towards that? Then they'll tell you what they need to do. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then pretty much every time I finish a call with somebody, I always finish with something along the lines of, what are you going to do differently now, this week, or this next period of time till I talk to you again? Because if someone leaves a call and they haven't made any commitment to anything different in their life, then they're just going to just immediately get hypnotized and go back into their old patterns, and it's a waste of time. So I'm always interested in, all right, what's going to happen differently? Or what are you going to actually do? It might be thinking different, it might be meditating more, it might be like finishing a thing they're doing, having a hard conversation, stopping an addiction, or whatever it is they're dealing with. Something needs to change, otherwise there isn't a change. If someone leaves a call and they're like, yeah, that was awesome, loved it, thank you very much, yeah, and then that's it. It's like, I'm not here, I'm not like a monkey, I'm not here to entertain people like a monkey, do you know what I mean? Yeah, this isn't... Like, if you want to watch comedy, yeah, you can go watch Comedy Network. Do you know what I mean? Netflix has got about a million movies. You can watch a movie. Yeah, this is breakthrough stuff we're talking about. This is life change. Yeah? So, so it's like, this is... As much as you might find it entertaining listening to me, that's not the main point of it, yeah? So, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's just like chit chat, how are you doing? I'm all right. What happened? Oh yeah, this was happening. Right, it's like, look,
that's boring.
Look, I'm not here to listen to, you know. Then I went and did this. Then I had this food at the shop. Then I came back.
Oh,
I watched TV. Then I was like, look, that's not, what the hell. Like, I'm not your grandma. Just something, you know, like. It's not your weekly check-in with your mother or something, you know. It's different, yeah? So it's like...
You really have calls like that?
No, sometimes people...
No, you couldn't.
Just, like, edge in that direction. I'm like... I sort of cut them off. I'm like, look, what do you want? Look, we could shoot the breeze all day if you want. We could talk about, you know, the latest developments on... some soap opera that you watch or something, you know. What's Britney Spears' latest drug hab thing or something, but that's not why we're here, really, you know. So it's blessings to everyone, and but we want to help them make a breakthrough. That's the main thing. So just remember, you're always the coach. You're always the person who's holding space. So never let people just like go on and on and on. Unless it's helping them, right? Sometimes people need to share their stuff to get it to just to hear themselves saying things. Sometimes they need to do it, yeah. But there's a difference between shooting the breeze, you know, and having a breakthrough. Yeah, and it's your job to kind of make the call there. Yeah, so if people just tell you, yeah, this morning I woke up, then I had peanut butter on toast, then I went for a walk, you know, then I talked to my dog, and then blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. Yesterday I went to the cinema, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, you probably won't get much of that, hopefully. So, you might spend the first couple of minutes just having a little bit of chit chat. That's all right. But if the whole call is chit chat, then you're in trouble, you know.
Yeah.
Because remember that your clients are not your friends. Like that, they are your friends, but they're not your friends at the same time, because friends don't take it seriously. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Friends don't take things seriously. Clients do take it seriously. That's what the difference is. So of course you care about them on a level. We're all family. We're all friends and all that. So we are all friends, but they're not just friends. Yeah. None of my friends can truly take me seriously. Yeah, because they're not paying me. And they're just like, yeah. But as soon as they put down a bunch of money, and then they heard me say exactly the same thing I said to them yesterday, they'll be taking notes, their pen will be out, and now all of a sudden they've taken it seriously, yeah? So that's why coaches and mentors say don't work with your friends, because they're never going to get a result. Don't work with friends and family, because they're not going to do anything. Yeah, friends and family refuse to do anything. I've tried to help my mother enough times, and it never works, because family. Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
If I'm talking just to anybody in general, everybody, and this stuff that you talk about, nobody knows this stuff because it's not talked about. We haven't been taught this. So whenever I discuss it with people, whether it's my clients while I'm doing their hair, or, and I'm really good about it, it's not like slamming down their throat, it's just observations or in my own experience. And everybody's like, yeah, like they know what I'm talking about. And I think, I don't sometimes even know what I'm talking about, because it's so profound. And you have to experience it. You actually have to not just read it, talk about it. You have to experience it. And so do you find that a lot? Do a lot of your clients are like, yeah, I know what you're talking about? Or are those mostly the friends that aren't paying you, like you said?
Yeah, no, the truth is, realistically, very few people get it. Paid or non-paid or whatever, clients or friends or whatever. Spirituality and true change is one of those things that is, everyone has heard about it. Nearly everyone, if you ask them, if you did a poll and it said, are you a spiritual being, A, or are you just a body that's going to die? Most people would tick box A, yeah? But if there's another box that says, how often do you experience profound bliss and freedom and peace, and how much are you aware of it? And they gave a percentage, it's extremely low percentage, probably near zero. So theoretically, people are like, heard it, yep. But they've no idea what you're... They actually... Fundamentally, nothing's changed. It's just a nice idea on a shelf. So, yeah, absolutely. Most of the time, it's that's why repetition. I've basically been on about the same sort of thing, one way or another, the whole year, and you're probably just barely getting it now, right? And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way at all. That just takes time. I've been learning this stuff 16 years, hardcore, super hardcore, and I'm still scratching the surface compared to what the potential is, yeah? Because this goes so deep. So, yeah, people in the hair salon and random people, they're going, yep, yep, yep. No idea what you're talking about at all, most of the time. And the people who do get
Michael,
it...
Go ahead.
People who do get it, they don't say, yep, yep, yep. They say, it's just amazing. And they'll be like, they'll be fully present and they'll want to stay on that topic and they'll want to, like, take a moment of silence.
Yeah.
They're the ones who get it. The people who get it, they're like, let's take a moment of silence and just experience it. People are like, talk, you know. So let's take a moment of silence now. You know, I'm happy to talk about your other questions in a minute, but let's take a moment. And let us remember, just feel, how does it feel? Imagine you're just arrived here for the first time. You are absolutely immortal, completely free. Everything is a game. Like an innocent child, like a baby, has come here in Wonderland. And you're completely different from the body, completely different from the world. And you're just a guest. Watching in wonder the wonder of life. the only way you can tell you got it is if you laugh.